The American walks every day normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the great American Patriot, Big Al. Good evening, Big Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here as always. And what a week. We have a lot to talk about.
What a week is right. Holy cow. I mean, it has been like nonstop news all around the world, from earthquakes to meltdowns to phony fronts to the installation of the 118th Congress's new Speaker of the House, the radical left-wing destructive Democrat Party deciding that they want to control the narrative and create a crisis, and to the World Economic Forum, you know, with their radicalism and their globalist agenda, to Germany, you know, with Al-Qaeda. Boy, we've got an action-packed evening in store in just 2 hours. So we'll just get right to it then. Because it starts out, the PGA has opened their 2023 season. It was kicked off this past weekend, and they were in Kapalua, Hawaii, a beautiful, beautiful Kapalua, Hawaii. Oh, they're at the there was the Century Tournament of Champions. It's held at the beginning of each year, and it recognizes the champions and get an invite to play at the famed Kapalua. And last year's tournament winner received an invite. Last year's tournament winners received an invite to Kapalua to kick off the season. And for 3 days, Colin Morikawa was magnificent. By the end of Saturday's round, he had a commanding 6-shot lead over Americans J.J. Spawn and world number 2 Scottie Scheffler. He had a 7-shot lead over Jon Rahm from Spain. But this is why the PGA plays 72 holes, because things can change, and boy, did they change on Sunday. I was getting sort of a play-by-play, and then nothing. At the end of Sunday's round, the surging Jon Rahm, he shot an impressive 10 under par 63 for a total of 27 under par. But poor Colin Morikawa could only muster a 1 under 72 for a total score of 25 under, leaving him 2 shots shy of Sunday's eventual winner, Spain's Jon Rahm. And what a round of golf by Jon Rahm. He was fearless. He attacked every hole. He putted brilliantly. It was very impressive. The guy acted as if he wanted it. And, you know, it's something, Colin, this is the second time Morikawa has blown a 5-shot or better lead in the last year and a half. And it's not good. And it, but he's, it appears that he's back on track. Now he just has to close the door. So from the magnificent, you know, play of John Rahm to the beautiful scenery in Hawaii, it was just, it was fantastic to watch. Did you catch any of it?
Oh yeah. When Morikawa was seven strokes up, I kind of moved on to doing other things. And then next thing I know, I see that he lost. And what a turnaround. I mean, a couple of bogeys, three bogeys,
yeah,
knocked him out of the tournament.
Yeah, three bogeys in a row. Yeah, it was like, holy crap. I mean, he bogeyed, 14, 15, and 16, I believe, which is uncharacteristic. Yeah. He played beautifully. He really did for 3 days. But then he just – it's like he stopped being that aggressive guy, and it bit him.
Mm-hmm. So for all you that don't play golf, imagine 4 days having to do something physical so good and perfect, and then it comes down to three mistakes – and you lose, and you come in second. That's quite a sport.
He had no bogeys the first 3 days. So if he if he ends up parring 14, 15, and 16, and he wins the tournament.
Yep. By one shot. Walking that course, talking about elevations. Holy mackerel. You got to be in some shape.
Oh, my God. Oh, just – it was – God, it was so beautiful. I mean, the scenery and some of the slow-mo shots they were getting of guys, and in the background with the ocean in the background and the mountains. Oh, just absolutely gorgeous. What a way to kick off the year. So, plus the fact that it's in Hawaii, so it gets to be on prime time pretty much, and you get to watch it. So,
I had a friend of mine who played out there this year, and it was when the whales, he said, were going through, so he's there playing. He looks out at the ocean, and it's just whales doing full breaching. And he's like, oh, my God, this is heaven on earth.
Wow, that's impressive. Whew.
Oh, I said, you lucky bastard.
Yeah. Well, some people aren't so lucky in Indonesia. They got pounded again. Indonesia got hit with a 7.7 earthquake. You know, something's going on, and it hit that striking the Tanimbar region in the Banda Sea area at 11:47 a.m. Central. It's prompted emergency tsunami warnings for all local islands, and the quake struck some 60 miles below the Earth's surface. Jakarta is east of, which is the capital of Indonesia, is east of where the earthquake struck. And looking at the map, also under warning was the northern tip, the northwestern tip of Australia, which included the Western Australia and the states of Northern Terrier. So there's something going on, because this is the second earthquake in 2 months in Jakarta. So I wonder if there are any other, volcanoes that are erupting. Just it's unbelievable what's happening. Holy cow. And haven't seen the death toll yet, but they're trying to recover. And some said it was as much as a 7.9 magnitude. So just
bad news. I hope, hope they're able to, manage it, and a lot of people don't lose their lives, but I wonder if they made Allah angry.
Oh, could have.
Well, the Indonesians are, 90% Muslim, maybe a little bit more. And when there's natural disasters in other countries that are non-Muslim, they always blame it was Allah getting even with them. So I wonder if that's the same thing, but I don't know.
Good. That's a really good question.
Yeah, get back to me on that, will you? Make some phone calls.
I will do so. I'll try to do so. Yeah. This came a day after the U.S. had issued a tsunami warning at Vanuatu after a 7.2 magnitude struck. Oh, gosh, my thing just went off. Oh, well. Well, sorry. Just here we go. There are 7.2 magnitude earthquake occurred in the South Pacific Ocean. So we're talking about 2 7.0 or better earthquakes hitting within 2 days. That's something's going on. Maybe it'll take California. I don't know.
Right at the fault line and just take it into the ocean.
You know, it's speaking of, you know, speaking of California, I got to tell you this. I'm going to give some props to somebody on Twitter that one of my Italian Twitter followers. He posted, you know, something about Newsom's latest speech, and you know, he was elected to a second term, and he gave his Newsom, you know, gave his speech, and this is what my friend writes. He goes, I heard this funny joke today. Did you ever hear the one where a liberal scumbag governor of California calls his commie state, which locks down its citizens and tells how to live? Wait. He says, we are a true freedom state. I've never laughed so hard. It's like, you know, there's the shamelessness from the destructive Democrat Party is incredible. It was his second inauguration address, and he stated that, you know, we are a true freedom state. And then he put his mask back on. No, just he wasn't wearing it. He don't wear a mask. He goes to Florida for vacation while he imposes his authoritarian edicts, like his aunt Nasty Pelosi would do, and make sure that the little people all live by the authoritarian rules of Stockton, California. I mean, I'm Sacramento, California.
Really, knows the legacy media is not going to say anything. The legacy media is going to back him up as the freedom state, and it'll be the message will be repeated over and over in the mainstream media, and he knows that to be true. So he can say whatever he darn well wants.
He certainly can, and you know, for the people in California, as you're sitting there and you're filling up your car at $6 a gallon, just think about how free that is. How free it is to fill up your vehicle at $6 a gallon, because the left wing, the destructive Democrat Party, is beholden to the global climate scam agenda that's being put forth, including being put forth by the World Economic Forum with individuals such as the chair of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, which made some absolutely frightening statements. And then you wonder how the Biden-Harris regime gets where they get their marching orders from. Listen to this statement by Klaus Schwab, the chair of the World Economic Forum, who has declared that people have no right to own their own car and can instead walk or share. According to the WEF, far too many people own their vehicles, and this situation must be corrected by pricing them out of the market. Thousands of private jets fly into Davos each year, that's Davos, Switzerland, for the World Economic Forum's annual summit. But according to Klaus Schwab, ordinary people should not own their own cars. In a paper published by the WEF, the Davos elites claim that communal sharing of cars must become part of a circular approach in order to reduce global demands for precious metals and fossil fuels. Okay, so first of all, you have this global climate scam agenda that is forcing electric vehicles down people's throats, including in the United States of America. And the left wing is okay with having children work in mines to strip the earth bare of its minerals in order to appease the lithium battery agenda, so that the fossil fuels would not be used. Okay. And actually in their method of banning fossil fuels. The article goes on to say the global elites in Geneva, Switzerland, are now instructing their young global leaders embedded in governments around the world that far too many people own private vehicles and they must be priced out of the market with massive gas price hikes. So let me read that one more time, okay? Young global leaders embedded in governments, Where have we seen that in the United States? Around the world, that far too many people own private vehicles, and they must be priced out of the market with massive gas price hikes. Citing the fact that the average car or van in England is driven just 4% of the time, the WEF claims this means that people in developed countries, including the United States, should not have the right to own their own car. People should sell their car and walk or share, because car sharing platforms such as GetAround and BlueSG have already seized that opportunity to offer vehicles where you pay per hour used. And it's not just car. The end of private ownership is essential, according to the WEF, and can be applied to everything from cars to private homes and even citywide design principles. Here is Klaus von Radical, a design process that focuses on fulfilling the underlying need instead of designing for product purchasing is fundamental to the transition, the WEF sets out. This is the mindset needed to redesign cities to reduce private vehicles and other usage. Part of the circular approach appears to be driving already sky-high gas prices even higher. And gas is up 3% a barrel today in the United States. In the article published earlier this month, WEF issued a call to its legion of young global leaders. Now, listen to this part. And if you think that gas prices are going to go down anytime soon in the United States, while bumbling Joe Biden, Lion Biden, has been patting himself on the back the last month for gas prices coming down under $4 a gallon because he released 60% of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in order to artificially lower prices. Okay. Listen to this statement by the World Economic Forum chair and tell me that Joe Biden and the rest of the radical anti-Americans in Washington, D.C. are not in lockstep with this radical ideology that is absolutely damaging our checkbooks, our savings, our livelihoods, because gas prices have, by them rising the way they have, has infected everything to do with transportation, including the delivery of groceries, which we're paying 30 to 40% higher. Here is this is what the World Economic Forum has stated, Klaus Schwab, okay, in calling his legion of global leaders, has stating gas prices are experiencing in 2022 are simply not high enough. As though ordinary people aren't suffering enough pain at the gas pump, Klaus Schwab is claiming that the current price are severely underpriced. Yes, $3.35 a gallon, $3.70 a gallon, $6 a gallon in California, $7 a gallon is underpriced. Now, we already know that Joe Biden was instructed by his handlers to basically dissolve everything that President Trump put in place, even the successful workings of an energy independence. So while Joe Biden and communist Kamala Harris are in Washington, D.C., there will be no plans to make America energy independent again. The destructive Democrat Party seeks to make sure that you and I start walking, we ride share. So you better stop mom and dad out there, your soccer moms out there who've got your minivans. You all better get smart, because you won't be able to take little Johnny and little Mary to school anymore. They should walk the 2 miles to school. Matter of fact, they should take the Government Institute buses. You need to park your minivan. Okay, because one, the $3.50 a gallon is grossly underpriced, according to the World Economic Forum, according to the global elitists. The WEF article is complicated and disingenuous, but it basically calls for an end to any and all tax credits for oil, gas, and coal production, along with higher taxes. This idea isn't new. Basically, it's the same idea as pricing fossil fuels based upon their carbon content. The result would make gas an unaffordable luxury for the vast majority of the population. Now, I'll end with this. Via the WEF, first, leading democracies should agree to end the underpricing of fossil fuels, which is the principal factor preventing a clean energy transition. The underpricing associated with producing and burning coal, oil, and gas amounted to $5.9 trillion in economic costs in 2020. Nearly a quarter of these losses, $1.45 trillion, occurred in 48 major and smaller democracies. The leading democracies of the G20 should collectively commit to phasing out costs and tax breaks for the production and consumption of fossil fuels. They should also phase in more efficient pricing for fossil fuels through taxes or tradable permits to cover the cost of local air pollution, global warming, and other economic damages. World Economic Forum, transitioning to green energy is key to both tackling the climate change scam, tackling climate change and creating sustainable economies. Here's why. So I'll post this in the chat room, this article. Okay, this is the agenda that's being followed by the anti-American and radical Biden-Harris regime. And now we know who set this agenda, the World Economic Forum. You know, it's okay, folks. You know, we're gonna create, what, millions of new jobs. You know, we're working for working families and the middle class and the upper middle class are being worked for by the Biden-Harris regime. It's a bunch of bunk. The destructive Democrat Party does not work on behalf of the American people. They're working on behalf of the World Economic Forum. The fact that they, the global elitists and the cabal in Washington, D.C., took out Donald Trump and they abandoned all of his policies that were working, including energy independence. Oil, heating oil. For those people that live up here in the Northeast, you're paying 300% more for heating oil. You have people in Philadelphia alone who are stating that they're lowering their thermostats to 58 degrees because they can't afford heating oil. But that's okay with the World Economic Forum. They'd rather you freeze to death and die. Because if you freeze and die, that's less people that are on the planet, less people complaining about the cost of oil. Hey, and natural gas is not immune from that either. We're talking about 200% and 300% rise in natural gas prices. Just here in the United States, businesses that were paying $300 a month for gas are now paying $2,000, $2,300, $2,400 a month for natural gas. And now Bozo Biden wants to eliminate gas stoves in America? This is the radical agenda that the American people supposedly voted for. Supposedly 81 million people voted for the frail old fraud, Joe Biden. I don't believe it. But now as I read more about the World Economic Forum and their plan for the West, including the United States of America, it's quite clear where the Biden-Harris agenda is. The Biden-Harris-Obama agenda. The Biden-Harris-Jarrett-Obama agenda. Because let's face it, folks, Joe Biden is not smart enough to be doing this by himself. He's the perfect chimpanzee that was put in place in order to execute these radical, extreme, the global and climate change scam agenda. And you start seeing where the actual implementation of this radical agenda stems from. And it's stemming from the World Economic Forum. It's stemming from the United Nations. And now they have a globalist in the White House, along with the globalists that are in Congress, who really like to adhere to this radical and extreme agenda, all in the name of climate change. We're going to save the climate. Bullshit. You cannot regulate the sun. When, in fact, man can regulate the sun, solar flares and sunspots will change the environment. But until then, it's not going to happen. And all it is it's an extraction of American taxpayer money to fund this global ruse. that's out there, including the World Economic Forum.
Well, Von Klaus says the World Economic Forum will plot how to counter misinformation like yours, Vito, at its 2023 annual meeting. The international group wants to predict and mitigate what it determines to be misinformation.
You know what, Al? Isn't it ironic that we have an idiot in the White House, Joe Biden, who used that same cliche, misinformation and disinformation? You know, all of a sudden you've got in a constitutional republic where it's pretty clear, the First Amendment makes it quite clear with regards to the freedoms to the American people, the Bill of Rights under the United States Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably and the right of people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And isn't it amazing that just what, a year ago, okay, Joe Biden, okay, and communist Kamala Harris put together this Ministry of Truth, and they hired this dingbat, okay, this leftist who is going to decide what is disinformation and misinformation. That is absolutely contrary to what our founders put in place in 1787. They were fearful of that. Here you have the government that's going to decide what information is disinformation and misinformation based upon their own litmus test. That is dangerous. That is extremism. That's fascism. And I'm not sure why the American people aren't up in arms. But when a president of the United States in a constitutional republic starts implementing a ministry of truth to decide what's misinformation and disinformation, and then we have the 12 or 11 Twitter dump files that show how the FBI and the federal government coordinated with a social media platform to determine what was misinformation and disinformation, and now the World Economic Forum is going to discuss just that. Obviously, they are scared that with social media platforms, with podcasts such as this that get the word out, that they're not co-opting that information, and they're fearful that their words will be challenged with facts and show the hypocrisy and how radical and dangerous the World Economic Forum, the Joe Bidens, the destructive Democrat parties are.
Well, they never counted on Elon Musk buying Twitter and releasing all of the emails.
Right?
They didn't count on that at all. No one saw that coming.
And suddenly Elon Musk is like the devil. You know, he's out there and he's promoting free speech, although I know someone that got banned from Twitter. But here he is promoting free speech, and the left wing is going absolutely apocalyptic with regards to, oh my God, he's going to kill speech. No, he's not going to kill speech, because if you understood the foundings of this nation and what the intent was by our founding fathers, okay, it is free speech is speech that you may not agree with. It doesn't mean that it's not wrong. You may not agree, and conservatives absolutely know how their speech is being stemmed by the radical left-wing agenda. And Klaus Schwab, okay, will be making this his centerpiece for the World Economic Forum when they meet this year. Just the way that Joe Biden had created the Ministry of Truth to combat disinformation, and that seems to be a cliche by the Biden-Harris regime. Whenever they start talking, well, we have to look at disinformation and misinformation. Excuse me. You are the masters of disinformation and misinformation. You are the masters of gaslighting. I mean, the lies that come out of Biden's mouth. And then you have the DNC state-run media outlets who absolutely stand by this guy and protect this endangered species. And now the World Economic Forum is going to decide, you know, how you combat disinformation and misinformation. I think Klaus Schwab's statement about making everybody walk is misinformation and disinformation, as that greedy bastard enriches himself, as well as the rest of the billionaires who will be joining him, like such as George Soros, such as Oprah, you know, and Bill Gates, to name a few.
Well, they're Marxist totalitarians. That's how they like it. And all of a sudden, here comes Elon Musk. Ta-da. I mean, look at Twitter. They canceled a sitting president. Talk about power. Think about it. They canceled a sitting president who used Twitter quite a bit, actually.
Yes, they did.
He used it to bypass the media because the media was spiking all of his stories and using misinformation against him, but that's okay. And then they shut him down. And then Elon Musk confirmed all that with these Twitter dumps. And the media, for all intents and purposes, is silent. You're not seeing huge investigations into the Twitter dumps outside of our little world and our friends of freedom.
Shouldn't that give each and every American pause, irrespective of their party affiliation, that the federal government was involved in silencing American citizens, silencing American newspapers, and silencing an American president? The federal government was involved in this. I don't know what drives a person to get angry, but that certainly should make each and every American angry, that the federal government, irrespective of the United States Constitution, irrespective of the Bill of Rights, irrespective of the First Amendment, the federal government was in bed with a social media platform, Twitter, and possibly Facebook and Google, in order to silence anybody who had an opposing view from their left-wing ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's proven with Twitter. There's 11 Twitter file dumps that shows that the federal government, the FBI, colluded with Twitter to silence America's comments, America's voice, to silence the New York Post voice. And I'm looking at the First Amendment, and it says, abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Now, I don't care to hear any longer that Twitter is a private company. Well, Vito, you know, Twitter is a private company. Oh, really? Well, once the federal government gets involved with a private company to dictate what speech is acceptable, that's no longer a private company. That's a mouthpiece for fascism. And indeed, Twitter, under Jack Dorsey, sought to abridge American citizens, American people's freedom of speech. And it certainly abridged freedom of the press, especially when it came to the New York Post releasing the Hunter Biden laptop and questioning it. And like you said, the media in this country, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, the National Propaganda Radio, NPR, PBS, NBC, all mouthpieces for the Democrat National Committee, the DNC, and I call it the DNC state-run media. They're all in lockstep. They all toot to the same tune. And they all are silent about the Twitter file dumps. There was nothing that was said by NBC, by CNN, by ABC, by CBS, by MSNBC, by NBC, by ABC, by nothing about the Twitter file dumps for the first 7-8 dumps. Nothing. And then there was a 15-second blurb by one of the DNC-sponsored networks. Nothing. Where is the outrage by the American people that the federal government has violated the United States Constitution, has abridged our freedom of speech, has absolutely trampled upon the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Where are the American people in their outrage? Where are they?
Well, it makes you wonder what the Democrats don't care about that. They stopped all investigations. Now we're hoping with the Republicans in power in Congress that these investigations are going to start back up again.
The Democrats were involved in it. That's the whole thing.
They covered it up.
Nancy Pelosi was the orchestrator. I heard Bob Livingston, the retired congressman from Louisiana. I heard him today, and he said, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I'm going to listen to, you know, another member of the institution, even though he's retired. And he said, when Nancy Pelosi got at the speakership, she ruled as an authoritarian rule. She was an authoritarian in the House, and she has corrupted the way the House is conducted. And he's so right. I can't believe he actually said it. She's a fucking cancer, and she needs to go away. And, you know, she's part of the problem. And I'll say one more thing that's part of the problem. And think about the corruption that has ensued with regards to social media platforms and the government coming in and dictating who should be able to say what, okay? What about these senatorial races or these political races around the country? How is it that a Senate race in South Carolina, the Democrats raised over $100 million to defeat Lindsey Graham? And I don't care about who is running. I'm not a Lindsey Graham fan, but just think about this for a second. Just think about this. The Democrat Party raised $100 million to defeat Lindsey Graham, who raised somewhere to the city of $85 to $88 million. So $188 million was spent on a Senate race that pays $175,000 a year. Think about that. The office of the Senate office pays $175,000 a year. And they're raising over $100 million to buy that seat. And even for 6 years, what is that? Just under $1.2 million is going to be earned in 6 years? Why are hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on one political seat? What possibly do they want for that seat? And it's corruption. It's pure, simple graft. It's pure, simple corruption. There's no other how can you in all good conscience on a $175,000 seat spend $100 million on a seat? So nobody seems to be, upset over that. Nobody seems to be upset with the fact that Twitter got in bed with the FBI and the federal government to suppress information, to silence a sitting president of the United States, to silence a newspaper in the United States, the oldest newspaper in the United States, the New York Post. The federal government spied on a presidential candidate. They spied on an elected president. They banned the president of free speech on social media, and then they try to impeach the president twice. The House at least did, under Nancy Pelosi, who ruled as an authoritarian, who her henchmen like Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler all complied with trying to get rid of Trump. And now we've got the installation of Joe Biden, who is dismantling our constitutional republic, who is taking us off of fossil fuels, who is in lockstep with the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, who expects you and me, ladies and gentlemen, to walk to work, to walk to the grocery store, or get communal sharing of cars, and for gas prices to be higher than they are because they're too low. You and I paying $3.50 a gallon, $4 a gallon, $5 a gallon, we're not paying enough for gas. As gas prices go up, so will the price of groceries continue to rise. So let's, you know, is $7 a gallon, you know, an adequate amount? Is $10, let's make it $10 a gallon. How much will you pay for your groceries now that have risen 35 to 50%? You're going to pay 35 to 50% more? Oh, and by the way, let's not forget, we're going to raise everybody's wages to $15 an hour. Now the Federal Reserve is having conniption fits because now you've got wage inflation. It's bad enough that we have a $31 trillion debt where the United States is paying, the interest on that debt is $602 plus billion. So let's borrow more money, let's spend more money, and let's make sure that we put complete and utter idiots in the White House. I just find Klaus Schwab's comments, I found the World Economic Forum to be nothing but Marxist radicals, and they are controlling. They so want to control the Western democracies. They so want to control the United States of America, and now they got the perfect chimpanzee in the White House and his handlers, okay, because Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this on his own. That's why he needs the Valerie Jarrett, the Susan Rice, the what's the other one's name? Samantha Power, you know, and all of these radicals, these anti-Americans who are sitting up there in the White House, and they're all complying with this globalist agenda. It should infuriate.
Totalitarians.
There you go. They're totalitarians. That's exactly right, Al.
It's both forms of government, totalitarian. They discourage individual freedom of thought and action. Totalitarianism attempts to do this by asserting total control over the lives of its citizens, whereas authoritarianism prefers the blind submission of its citizens to authority. We've seen a lot of that over the last 2 years.
We certainly have. We certainly have seen that a lot over the last 2 years.
And just recently, the Democrat Party in total lockstep. And then you have the Republican Party with only 20 constitutional conservatives going and bucking the trend against McCarthy.
Yeah.
And our friend Holger speaks of, what does he call it, the Uniparty? He calls it the Uniparty. And after what I saw with McCarthy, I kind of pushed back on Holger a little bit on this. And I have to admit, when I'm wrong, Holger was right and I was wrong. And how I came to this conclusion, Vito, is that at last count, there's 435 Republican – or 435 congressional members.
That's correct.
Now, of that 435, 20 of them are constitutional Republicans that bucked the Republican Party. So that means that all of the 415 others, Republican and Democrat alike, are part of the one-party system. Because none of the Democrats spoke out in favor or against. They towed the party line. Of the Republicans, only 20 broke ranks. That's what scared me more than this whole exercise. That's what I took away from it.
Well, when you've got Mad Maxine Waters, and you know, Maxine Waters is a lunatic. She has a screw loose. There's something that's absolutely mentally wrong with that woman. And maybe at the age of 80, she just has lost her marbles. But here she is. She gets up on the floor or she's in the House chamber and she gets up and she starts yelling and screaming. When you have the Democrat Party, the destructive Democrat Party, all in lockstep in favor of voting for McCarthy, you got to wonder. You have to wonder. But they all fell, didn't they? Didn't they all fall in line? They all fell in line for Hakeem Jeffries. Here's another, the election denier, okay? The election denier of 2016 who hasn't changed his position on that. And somehow, you know, Hakeem Jeffries gets a pass. Now, maybe he gets a pass because he's black. And of course, the media, though, is in bed. The DNC media is in bed with the Democrat Party. So there will be no pushback from the Democrat Party. National Committee controlled media with regards to Hakeem Jeffries' radical and bizarre statements, including resurrecting after what, since November the 9th, this term hasn't been uttered, but yesterday on Meet the Depress, Hakeem Jeffries did utter the words MAGA radicals, MAGA Republican radicals, you know. So now we're going to hear that for the next 2 years at ad nauseum. So whatever Hakeem Jeffries is going to give the minority speech, okay, representing, it's going to be the MAGA Republican radical agenda. It's going to be the same, you know, the same disinformation over and over again. But the Democrats were in favor of McCarthy being nominated speaker. So, you know, they all fell in lockstep. You know, they're all told what to do on the Democrat Party side, and they all fall in lockstep. But that's all part of the government party system, isn't it? So 20 Republicans held out, didn't want to be part of that government party system.
No.
So from the Daily Sanity, the 118th Congress is now in session. After midnight, in the wee hours of Saturday morning, six representatives-elect voted present for speaker, lowering McCarthy's victory threshold to 215 votes. And in that 15th round of voting, McCarthy received 216 votes and was finally elected speaker. After Hakeem Jeffries went through a bizarre speech that included the ABCs of division and hatred, it was everything you ever needed to know about communist gaslighting you learned in kindergarten. And afterwards, he introduced McCarthy and handed him the gavel. McCarthy's acceptance speech appeared as an attempt at unity and a promise to run things differently. He reportedly made significant concessions on the House rules with provisions that are promised to restore transparency and function to the chamber's proceedings. And we will see. And will we be skeptic? Yes, we will be skeptical. And if McCarthy wants to change things, why don't you go back to a single item bill? You know, let's go to a single item bill. If you want to pass $100 million, you know, for bridges in Minneapolis to repair them, then pass it just as bridges, not $5 million to watch the mating habits of shrimp. Okay, in Louisiana, not $1 million to watch how grass grows in Arizona. Okay, if it's going to be for bridges, the entire bill must include the repair and replacement or the funding of bridges. Bury shit inside of a bill that you're forced to pass or they know will be passed. But in the meantime, you add $100 million of pork to a $100 million bridge repair bill. So let's go with a single issue item in passing it. Let's see if he's got the balls to do that. The same thing with the Electoral College issue that they put in the $1.7 trillion spending spree that passed last week. That had nothing to do with funding the government, okay, for the next fiscal year. Nothing. Zero, zilch, nada. You know, why didn't that bill be placed on its own and then be debated? So we could talk about what our founding fathers intended for the Electoral College. It goes with each and every bill, especially with Nancy Pelosi. Load up these bills and then call it, what do we call it? The Inflation Reduction Act. $785 billion. And then you find out there's another $100 billion to add 87,000 new IRS agents. That's not inflation reduction. Jesus. Upon accepting the gavel as speaker, McCarthy thanked his colleagues for their support and shared his vision for unity, uniting the legislative body. You know, my father always told me, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And now we need to finish strong for the American people. As Speaker of the House, my ultimate responsibility is not to my party, my conference, or even our Congress. My responsibility, our responsibility is to our country, the Californian continued. 2 months ago, you voted for a new direction for our country. You embraced our commitment for America, and now we are going to keep our commitment to you. His remarks included a warning for Hakeem Jeffries, who was selected by the chamber's Democrats to be House Minority Leader. If the son of a fireman, a grandchild of immigrants, can rise to the highest position in the most important legislative body in the world, and if my colleague Hakeem Jeffries, with his life story, can rise to lead his party, then opportunity and democracy still thrive in America. He added to Leader Jeffries, there will be times we will agree and many times we will differ. I promise that our debates will be passionate, but never personal. And now the hard work begins. What we do here today, next month, next week, next year will set the tone for everything that follows. Hakeem, I need to warn you, I also won 100% of my conference votes on this floor 2 years ago, so good luck, McCarthy said jokingly. As if Hakeem Jeffries cares. He already made it personal one day later, okay, on Meet the Depressed, and he attacked the conservative base. He attacked the MAGA Republicans. He called them extremists. If the MAGA Republicans, the 20 that held out, are going to run the agenda. Now, you know what? That is a false and phony, and it is a direct misinformation statement. But you know what? It's okay for the destructive Democrat Party to make misinformation statements. So here you have the entire speech that McCarthy gave just a day earlier actually fell on deaf ears with regards to Hakeem Jeffries. Go to Meet the Press and listen to Hakeem Jeffries' comments with regards to the Republican Party. You know, it's all horseshit. And let's see what McCarthy is made of. Let's see what the Republicans in Congress are made of. Are they made up of a government party? Or are they truly out to work for the American people? I'm going to tell you that this Congress, both House and Senate, is not working on behalf of the American people. When you spend $200 million, when you spend $100 million, when you spend $80 million to buy a House or a Senate seat, you're not working on behalf of the American people. You have a $1.7 trillion spending spree that passed just a week prior. You're not working on behalf of the American people. You have a $31 trillion debt thanks to Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. Oh, you can also thank Joe Manchin for that as well. You know, that great moderate senator from West Virginia who was so concerned about coal mining that he sold his soul to the very people who lied to him. At least that's what we think lied to him. Or was he just playing theatrics, increasing prices on coal mining, doubling the per ton excavation, doubling the price of taxes, doubling on surface excavation and subsurface excavation, doubling the price. And this guy is holding out because he's a great moderate. And in the end, he absolutely fell in line with the destructive Democrat Party. So don't tell us, okay, that we're not going to make this personal, because Hakeem Jeffries made it personal the very next day. They are not working on behalf of the American people. They are working on behalf of the institution. And they're following, as we just read, the World Economic Forum order. And that is higher gas prices, not energy independence. Global energy dependence. I'm so sick of these phonies. So let's see if McCarthy proves us wrong, or is he part of that same institution? Well, I'm going to tell you just said it, Al. There was only 20 that held out for the Constitution. 20 out of 435.
Scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's breaking news. Classified documents were found at Joe Biden's think tank, the Penn Biden Center, roughly 1 mile from the White House. And these documents were found. They were from Joe Biden's vice presidency. So of classified documents at Penn Biden Center.
Really?
FBI raids Penn Biden Center. No, I'm kidding. That never happened.
Oh, it didn't? Oh.
Well, the classified documents were found. That is true. But no raid is forthcoming of the Penn Biden Center.
Oh, I bet there would not be a raid. This shit. I mean, let's face, you know, again, you want to talk about the American people falling on deaf ears, the DNC media covering this up. So the Penn Biden Center, I believe, got $72 million endowment from, guess where? You want to take a guess where?
Where?
Communist China.
Oh, my.
Communist China.
In the United States, last I checked.
Yeah. Yeah. The Biden Center received $72 million from Communist China. Nobody says anything, though. There's nothing to see here, okay, how the Communist Chinese have bought and paid for the Biden and a Biden crime family. Nothing to see here.
Okay. Well, that's on the laptop. So hopefully at the Hunter Biden inquiry or investigation, now that the Republicans are in the House, they can do it. Because the Democrats didn't care about any law-breaking or illegal activity or fraud or treason or traitorous activity from Democrats. But it's all in the Biden laptop. So what do you think the odds are the Republicans are going to do anything substantial?
The odds, I would say zero to none.
Yeah. No one's going to jail, especially Hunter.
No. Although there have been a couple of representatives who stated that they were going to launch investigations into it, and I believe one of them was Jim Jordan, if he becomes chair of the judiciary, was going to launch an investigation, and rightly so. I mean, now that you have this is where it's not being vindictive at all, because now you have Elon Musk, okay, with his Twitter file dumps, and then you find out that the Twitter file dumps, there was a collusion between Twitter, the FBI, between Twitter and Biden's, between Twitter and whoever else, okay, was seeking to suppress information. So, you know, either the United States government does not abridge freedom of speech or freedom of the press, and if it does, it's incumbent upon the United States House of Representatives to start an investigation on this. And if the President of the United States is complicit, okay, in this, okay, then the President of the United States should also be held accountable for lying to the American people, for committing fraud, and for abusing his office. And we're watching it happen before our eyes, and somehow there shouldn't be any pushback to this. I mean, I it's a one-way street. If his name was Trump, they would actually go after the guy. They would absolutely destroy the man, and they would seek to dismantle everything that he did, especially when it benefited the American people and not him personally.
Yeah. Well, Claire Lopez, she weighed in on this document, classified documents at the Penn Biden Center. She said, the key difference is that presidents have authority to declassify documents, no matter if markings remain or not, which is what President Trump did. Vice presidents like Biden have no such authority. Ooh.
And of course, her comments just fall on deaf ears as well, right?
Well, we'll see. This is from 20 minutes ago. Hopefully, I'm so jaded. I don't believe anything's going to happen.
Well, I mean, there is sort of a track record for this, you know, and you know what? You don't want to be, you know, a pessimist on it. It's just that you're tired of the corruption, because when you get these cliches from a political party that says that it's time to work on behalf of the American people, we are working on behalf of the American people. And then all last week, Nancy Pelosi, we have to get back to work for the American people. You don't care about the American people. And there's no pushback for her phony comments. You know, she was a destructive woman for the last decade, a destructive individual. And she did everything to obstruct the progress for working on behalf of the American people. And not to mention the tearing up of the President of the United States speech on national TV. That was an utter disgrace. That was a despicable act by a woman who is a classless individual. And, you know, I'll be nice and say classless. I won't say what I'd like to say, but she's a classless individual. And it was disgusting. And, you know, there was a press who was truly nonpartisan, bipartisan, you know, not in the bag for one particular political party. They would have shown their disgust and disdain for just an appalling act by the number three person in the ranks of our constitutional republic. It was a despicable act.
The other part of it, also of what's not happening, is that agencies that are supposed to be nonpartisan, follow the rule of law, are doing nothing. Like the FBI, the DOJ, law enforcement agencies at the federal level are supposed to be investigating and prosecuting these types of cases, but they're not. But they are, I mean, they are good at crimes, criminal activity. They'll stop that. And the FBI does good work there, but boy, when it gets into the political world, I don't know. Who are they accountable to? Why aren't these agencies filing lawsuits against them for not fulfilling their mission statement, their reason for existing?
But when you have a president of the United States who absolutely agrees with radical agenda, you got to wonder. I mean, you know, is he involved in this type of maneuver in order to silence opposition? You know, I say that because you look at Brazil, and the Gateway Pundit has been keeping, you know, track of the ongoings in Brazil. But look what's happened in Brazil with regards to the opposition. Now, Lula da Silva wins the presidency, supposedly, okay, in another sorted election, this time in Brazil. And now Lula regime sends buses to take thousands of opposition protesters to prison. Moraes blocks 200 Facebook profiles. Hotels ordered to turn over their guest list. And as Gateway Pundit states, it's like January 6th all over again. The only thing missing is Ray Epps. A massive crowd, that was pretty clever, a massive crowd of tens of thousands of Brazilians descended on the capital of Brasilia on Sunday to protest the stolen October presidential elections. The protesters stormed the National Congress and Supreme Court. Police used tear gas to confront the protesters. Police on horseback were attacked. Gunfire was reported. The people fear the communist Lula, his Supreme Court Justice Moraes, and the communists supporting their takeover of South America's largest country. China and their lapdog Joe Biden supported the international criminal Lula da Silva, a committed Marxist and a convicted felon. On Monday came the crackdown. Hundreds of buses were lined up in Brasilia to take the protesters to prison without trial, just like America following January 6th. Just now, evil Marxist Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes orders hotels in Brasilia to list guests who have stayed in hotels since January the 5th. Protesters in Brasilia are being taken by bus to the federal police superintendents, and whether or not there is a crime in the act, they will remain in prison area of Complexo da Papadu. More via Tupi report, Alexandria de Moraes prohibited the entry of all buses that took protesters to Brasilia and ordered the blocking of 200 profiles on Facebook and TikTok under a fine of 100,000 RS. That was their currency, and I'm sure what it is, but at least 1,300 people were arrested, including 40 children. The regime is requiring bus companies to send a list of passengers of buses that were present in the 3 days prior to the protests in Brasilia. First they steal, then they lie, then comes the mop-up operation. God help us. That sound familiar?
It does. On a smaller scale, but yeah, it does.
I mean, you know, Lula was in jail. He committed fraud. He got in bed with a construction company. I mean, and I'm not sure. I don't know what else can be said about that, you know, but here it is. Here's a guy. Now, I don't know if the election was faulty. I don't know if it was stolen. But here we have a situation where the communist, you know, president-elect or president now is rounding up, you know, the citizens and shipping them all to prisons. Iran, the same thing happened. The protesters, 500 protesters have been put to death so far in Iran. You know, all this nonsense about, oh, well, you know, it's those brave, you know, Iranian people standing up to the Ayatollah. Bullshit. The Revolutionary Guard rounds these people up, puts them in jail. They hung two yesterday, two protesters. You don't protest against communists and theocratic authoritarians. And where's the United Nations condemning this acts of human rights? Huh? Where is the United Nations? Absolutely silent. The useless nations is what they should be called.
And Zelensky and the Ukraine with the Russian church, who is shutting that down. And he was also media that was unkind to Zelensky. He shut them down as well.
Hey, we've given him, what, $150 billion, though?
Oh, for God's sake. Hopefully the Republicans, that's on part of their list, is they're going to look into where all of the Ukraine money went. They're going to look to where all the COVID money went. So that's another wait and see.
First and foremost, the first thing that McCarthy needs to instruct the House to do, and it's to defund the IRS. 87,000 IRS. You know something, Al? You look at what's happened in Brazil. You look at what's happening in Iran. You look at what happens in China, in communist China, okay, with these autocrats, okay, with these authoritarians, these czars, okay, issuing edicts. The IRS, under a Biden-Harris Obama regime, is seeking to suppress the American people, to silence opposition, and they're using the federal government as a method under the Internal Revenue Service. How much more intimidating, okay, does this government have to be? So it's incumbent upon the United States House of Representatives, led by the newly elected Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, to instruct his team, okay, his House control is to defund the IRS, not defund the police who do a great job in protecting their communities. Defund the IRS. This is what Nancy Pelosi wanted. This is exactly what Chuck Schumer wants. This is exactly what Joe Biden wants. They want authoritarian rule, and to hell with the U.S. Constitution, to hell with our constitutional republic. Now let's see what Kevin McCarthy is made of. Write to your congressman or woman and tell them to defund the Internal Revenue Service. Write to Kevin McCarthy. First and foremost, defund the IRS. Let's see what McCarthy is made of. Let's see what the Republicans are made of. Let's see if they can lead and stop this oppressive and out-of-control government. Because this is what the President of the United States, he's an authoritarian. And he seeks to control and silence the American people, silence the opposition and silence the American people, intimidate them through fear and use the IRS as a method of fear. Jeez. So what do you think is going to happen in Brazil? I mean, here you have, you know, Bolsonaro is in the United States. Apparently he's been rushed to a hospital in Florida for stomach issues. You know, you've got the Brazilian fighter Jose Aldo, Oh, look at this. Jose Aldo in Kissimmee, Florida, with his family, is hosting former President Jair Bolsonaro, where he was cheered by fans in the streets of Orlando today. That's interesting. But now he's been rushed to a local hospital in Florida. So I thought he was at Mar-a-Lago.
What's wrong with the hospitals in Brazil? With the communists,
well, if he goes,
local hospitals, so they got to come here to America?
No, if Bolsonaro goes back to Brazil, he'll be arrested.
Yeah.
By Lula. So they're blaming Bolsonaro for the breaching of the Capitol in Brasilia. So that's why he's here, I'm sure.
Well, he's worthy of asylum. He goes back,
yeah.
He's going to get whacked. But the Biden administration is backing the communist Lula.
Right.
And the Democrat Party. Shouldn't we be – wait a minute. We're America, damn it. We don't back commies. Well, we do, I guess, now.
I think we are. Again, you know, it's the same issue you have in Brazil, the same issue that you have with the Democrat Party in America, and the same issue with the communist Chinese. How quickly did the communist Chinese suppress the Democrat right democracy in Hong Kong? All they had to do was make sure that the China flu, the China virus was the excuse, and we've heard nothing more about democracy in Hong Kong, have we? Nothing. Zero.
No.
Zilch nada.
And they're supposed to get to the origins of the COVID virus coming out of Wuhan.
Right.
Everything is like now I get why people have polar shifts in their brains. What's it called? Bipolar disorder?
Bipolar
What's
disorder.
Right
yeah.
One day is wrong the next and vice versa. A good example, what's happening in Australia. Remember the Australian Open? The Australian Open is now allowing COVID-positive players to come next week, and they're welcoming back Novak Djokovic. There won't be mandatory testing for players as they can compete while COVID positive. Remember, they wouldn't even let Novak Djokovic compete because he didn't take the vaccine?
Yes. He was banned from coming into play to compete in the U.S. Open in New York.
So Stacey Rudin says wisely, she said, last year it's dangerous, this year it's fine. What's changed? Nothing.
And I
How
think
do you make
he's been banned
from this world.
I don't know. I can't make sense of it as right. So on one hand, you have bonehead Biden declaring that the pandemic is over. Okay. On the other hand, Biden's edict now is to not allow Novak Djokovic inside of the United States to play the some tennis in Miami. Okay. And now, Novak Djokovic in Australia is allowed to enter Australia, okay, and finally compete in the Australian Open where he's been banned.
Right. And you can even be COVID positive at the time. I mean, I'm sorry. If somebody's got the flu or a cold, you stay home until you get better so you don't get everybody else sick. And now they're saying, well, a little bit of COVID's okay. You can still participate if you're strong enough.
But if you're an illegal, unvaccinated, unvetted alien, you can enter the United States to the tune of, what, 4 million to 5 million strong under the Biden-Harris failed policies. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration released a letter Wednesday clarifying that any non-U.S. citizen traveling into the states must be able to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination regardless of country-by-country restrictions previously applied during the still ongoing COVID-19 pandemic through April 10, 2023. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because it was bonehead Biden, lying Biden, who declared that the pandemic was over. And now it seems like the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The announcement extends a previous travel requirement set in October 2021. Together with the presidential proclamation and the CDC order, these policies are intended to limit the risk that COVID-19, including variants of the virus that cause COVID-19, is introduced, transmitted, spread into and throughout the United States. That's utter and complete horseshit, ladies and gentlemen. That's gaslighting. That is disinformation. Because if the Biden regime was truly concerned, if they were truly concerned about limiting the risk of COVID-19, including the variants of the virus, then they would have secured the border on January 20th, 2021. They would have continued the security of the U.S. southern borders instead of having 4 to 5 million unvetted, unvaccinated illegal aliens pouring through our southern borders. That is complete and utter lie by the presidential proclamation and the CDC to release that statement. And one man, okay, Novak Djokovic, who will take a test to show that he is negative for COVID-19, but he will not be allowed to play in the United States at Indian Wells and the Miami Open through March because of these radical edicts that are issued by the phony and fraudulent Biden-Harris regime. 5 million unvaccinated and unvetted illegal aliens poured through our U.S. southern borders. The Biden-Harris regime transported illegal aliens throughout the United States to cities and towns that we don't even know of. The state of Massachusetts now is going to require masks, indoor masks, once again, because of the rise of COVID-19. And I bet you, if you look at these logs, if you could ever find the travel logs from the Biden-Harris regime, you will see that unvaccinated illegal aliens were transported to the state of Massachusetts, where they're having an uptick in the China virus contractions. That's a complete and utter lie by this phony regime. Together, the presidential proclamation and the CDC order, these policies are intended to limit the risk that COVID-19, including variants of the virus that cause COVID-19, is introduced, transmitted, and spread into and throughout the United States, potentially overwhelming U.S. healthcare, public health resources, endangering the health and safety of the American people, and threatening the security of our civil aviation system, the Emergency Amendment read in part. Really? Really? You want to talk about the threat to national security? It's the fact that we have a porous border, intentionally opened by the Biden-Harris regime, intentionally. For all the abuse that the phony DNC media gave to Governor DeSantis down in Florida, the Biden-Harris regime have been transporting illegal aliens in the dead of night all across the United States of America. Unvetted and unvaccinated aliens to the tune of 5 million have entered the United States that we know of. And now the phony Joe Biden, okay, the phony Joe Biden has the audacity to send out a tweet on January the 5th. Our problems at the border didn't arise overnight, and they won't be solved overnight. Extreme Republican elected officials like to run on immigration. Now they have a choice. They can keep using it to score political points, or we can come together to fix this broken system. But bumbling Biden wasn't done, because on January the 6th, the incompetent Joe Biden sent out this tweet. Now, we know that Joe's not smart enough to write this on his own, but it did come from Joe Biden's Twitter handle. We can secure our border and fix the immigration system to be orderly, fair, safe, and humane. And we can do all this while keeping lit the torch of liberty that has led generations of immigrants to America. Joe, where have you been the last 2 years? You've been absolutely silent. And now he comes out like the great white hope. Now he comes out like this great God, you know, like, oh, there's an awakening. Sorry, Holger. There's an awakening. We can secure our borders and fix the immigration system to be orderly, fair, safe, and humane. Why in the hell didn't you secure the U.S. southern borders? There was a security in place. It was working on January the 20th, 2021. And you absolutely fucked up the border intentionally, Joe. And now, 24 months later, you have the audacity to claim that there is an immigration system that could be fair, orderly, and safe, and humane. You've not been humane, Joe. You've intentionally caused harm to millions of people who made the trek from 150 countries from around the world. But you did this intentionally because you knew the way to fix the immigration system, and Senator Chuck Schumer already played the hand, is call for amnesty for illegal aliens. Amnesty for illegal aliens. And that's the intention. You want to buy votes for the Democrat Party, for the destructive Democrat Party, in order to dilute our constitutional republic, to dilute the values of our country. You're already implementing Marxist agenda. You're already implementing the Cloward Piven, the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. You're overwhelming this country. You sought to intentionally overwhelm our Border Patrol agents and our U.S. southern border with Mexico. You intentionally did that. And now you're acting as if you want to be presidential because you're saying some half-baked comment to sound like you care. You don't care. Your handlers don't care. The only thing you care about is amnesty now. You will blame Republicans for your failure at the United States border with Mexico. You will blame Republicans for the invasion into the United States of America, for breaking budgets in New York City, for busting budgets in Washington, D.C., for destroying or attempting to destroy the state of Texas. And all of these cities, these sanctuary cities from that are around the country, like San Francisco, like Martha's Vineyard, they all got their tail in a twist, don't they? Because they were challenged for their, what was it, their sanctuariness. And they didn't like it. Oh, how are we going to afford to take care of these illegal aliens? So how are the American taxpayers supposed to afford taking care of these people? Now, somehow the American people, you know, have to rely on the incompetence of our government, the intentional tanking, okay, of a U.S. border that had been secured. And now he shuffles his feet down to El Paso. They round up all the illegal aliens and the homeless. They take them off the streets. And suddenly the whole illegal immigration issue is gone in El Paso. It's gone. Because the grossly incompetent Joe Biden decided he's going to visit El Paso. Not areas that have been greatly impacted by the illegal alien invasion, but some safe spots for his photo ops. And you know, for 24 months, Joe Biden and Communist Kamala have done all they could to avoid the U.S.-Mexican border and the millions of unvaccinated, unvetted illegal aliens pouring over our border and illegally entering the United States of America. And sudden awakening of Joe Biden to the border is astonishing. I mean, what could have awakened this imbecile? Could it be the Republicans taking over as the majority party in the U.S. House? No longer is Nancy Pelosi ruling the roost? Well, ruling it overtly, I should say. You know, could it be the Republicans now the majority in the U.S. House? It's time to prance out bonehead Biden to give the illusion he now cares about the border 24 months later? Biden's handlers have figured out they can use the furlough fraud to blame the GOP for the border crisis that Biden and Harris caused. Harris, gets the blame as well because she has been the anointed border czar. So the bald-faced liar Biden goes to El Paso. And the first thing Texas Governor Abbott does when he meets Biden is he gave Biden a letter. And boy, the press is kind of curious now, aren't they, Al? They're curious as to what did the letter say? What did you give you know, Biden? And I'm sure Biden has no idea, you know, what actually was being written there, nor does he care what was written by Governor Abbott. But Governor Abbott said he was not impressed with Joe Biden's three-hour drive-by trip to the southern border. And I thought that was kind of funny, that little comment, his three-hour drive-by trip to the border. You said something about about El Paso being cleaned up.
Yeah.
There's no border issue now in El Paso?
Well, they have to clean up one street for the photo op, the Potemkin Village. They're gaslighting America.
Right?
Biden never actually made it to the border, did he? Oh, I take that back. There are pictures of him walking along the wall. Oh, and it's a beautiful wall at that. Gee, where did that wall come from? So I guess the safe place to walk, if you're a high level government official, is over by the wall.
Well, they did take Biden for a tour of a parking lot too, at the CBP, the Border Patrol parking lot. So he did take a walk through the parking lot for a photo op. So. You know, so Governor
Bold
Abbott,
poopy.
he did say it right. Your visit avoids the sites where a mass illegal immigration occurs. The typical Biden fashion, the avoider in chief. What an embarrassment. Then Governor Abbott cited the fact, under Trump, the federal government achieved historically low levels of illegal immigration. Under your watch, by contrast, America is suffering the worst illegal immigration in the history of our country. Your open border policies have emboldened the cartels, who grow wealthy by trafficking deadly fentanyl and even human beings. And, you know, I don't care what your political affiliation is, but there's two things that should also make people angry. And that is the trafficking of human beings. Human trafficking has been an absolute, it's disgusting. And, you know, people showed their outrage about Epstein and Epstein Island, but the human trafficking and enslaving women and stealing the innocence of children. The drug cartels have no conscience whatsoever. The brothels, you know, enslaving women to brothels and sending them to places like New York and Chicago. Where is the outrage? Okay. Irrespective of your party affiliation, especially if you're a destructive Democrat and you believe in women's rights. You know, we've heard all this noise about women's rights and the rights of women and the rights of women and for the children and all of those meaningless cliches. And that's what it turns out to be, Al. It turns out to be meaningless cliches by the destructive Democrat Party. They don't care about women. They don't care about children. And we know that by the number of abortions that are done on an annual basis that they support. And now you have children, you have women, okay, being trafficked around the world. Then you've got the issue of drugs. And I'm sorry, from George W. Bush, who was wrong when it came to prosecuting the war in Afghanistan, who should have blown the shit out of every poppy field in Afghanistan with regards to the production of heroin from that poppy, to securing our southern border because of the trafficking of fentanyl. And the Chinese are complicit upon this, emboldening and helping and assisting the drug cartels in Mexico and in South America. You know, if you truly cared about the children, and if you truly cared about families, drugs don't know a party affiliation. The issue of drugs tears apart a family. And tearing apart a family, while it kills the mother and father to watch their child suffer, it also can kill the child in which it has. And it divides a family. And don't tell me that the destructive Democrat Party cares about the children or cares about the family. Because if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris truly cared about children and the families, they would have made sure and they would have ensured the securing of our U.S. southern border would have continued as President Trump put forth, as Tom Holman, acting director, put forth. They would have done everything in their power to stem the flow of drugs into the United States, including the lethal fentanyl. They kill our kids. They get them hooked on this shit. And then it's nothing but lip service from Washington, D.C. Lip service. Where is the outrage? And the cost that society has with regards to drugs. Drugs bring homelessness, okay? Drugs and prostitution, drugs and death. And there's nothing more debilitating to a family is when their 15-year-old child dies from an overdose of drugs. And then we get some bullshit lip service from the President of the United States who's now talking about the border. 2 years too late. 5 million people too late. Unvaccinated and unvetted illegal aliens. And the pouring of drugs into the United States. And do they really care? No, they don't care. It's political posturing. And you've said it in the past. These 5 million illegal, unvaccinated, unvetted aliens coming into the United States are all potential Democrat Party voters. And that's the Marxist mission in the United States, overwhelming the system, creating unsustainable debt, $31 trillion, $602 billion in interest payments alone. Divide the families. And boy, have they divided the families. You know, one half of 1%, maybe less, are transgender. Less than 3% are gay. And if they get 100% of the notoriety. You want to be gay? That's your prerogative, okay? But now this whole agenda, we have to revolves around changing our community, changing our standards, changing our lifestyle, taking God out of our country, taking God out of our lives, dividing the families. Whatever happened to personal responsibility? There's very limited personal responsibility. And I truly take exception to Joe Biden appearing that he suddenly cares about what happens at the southern border. There's an ulterior motive by this dishonest individual and the people that are behind him, because Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself. So his handlers, whether it's Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Samantha, whatever the hell her name is, and Barack Obama. It might be Michelle. I'm not sure Barack's smart enough, but he's a silver-tongued individual. You know, how is it that for 24 months, Joe Biden has avoided the border, and now he comes out and he acts as if he cares? We've watched drug cartels coming through our borders, using mules to traffic drugs, including marijuana and fentanyl. And then the human trafficking that you have. And in Tom Holman's book, Defend the Border and Save Lives, and Holman talks about, what was it, 170 illegal aliens were inside of a trailer, and they had died. Many had died in the trailer that were being trafficked into the United States, and they left the trailer on the side of the road, and there was no ventilation, and basically people suffocated. That's inhumane.
And it had an air conditioning unit that could have been turned on, but the driver did not.
Oh, that's correct. You know, and you sit here and you say, how is it that the DNC state-sponsored media continues to shield and protect Joe Biden? And why? National security has been breached by a negligent president, Joe Biden, and the DNC state-sponsored media simply ignores this. President Trump's policies were working, and they were effective, and they were humane. But it was imperative the installer-in-chief abandon everything President Trump put in place, even at the expense of the citizens of Texas and the American people. Biden has avoided the border and the breaching of U.S. border for 24 months, and the DNC state-sponsored media covered it up. And once again, they protect the frail old fraud Joe Biden. And why? The increase of drugs infecting our cities, our towns, our states, killing our children, and the state-sponsored media continues to excuse and protect the frail old fraud Joe Biden. I don't know if you saw this in Gateway Pundit, but in a bizarre occurrence, bumbling Biden was in, while he was in El Paso, he walks up to a Salvation Army worker, and he mumbles something about spending time with the Secret Service in Ukraine. Biden stated, I spent some time with the Secret Service in Poland and in Ukraine. And the look on the man's face says it all. That would be the Salvation Army worker's face. Biden then says to the confused worker, excuse me, Secret Service, Salvation Army. And here we have folks from the Salvation Army. Biden, I spent time with the Secret Service in Poland and in Ukraine. And the Salvation Army guy looks at Biden and he just nods and says, oh yeah? I mean, this guy, he's totally unfit. Where is the media? This guy is, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who is incompetent? This is incompetence. This is, you know what? This is also elder abuse. It's gotten to the point where this man can't function. How do you look at somebody from the Salvation Army and say, I spent time with the Secret Service in Poland and in Ukraine. Well, that's a nice, Mr. President, but you're in El Paso. I mean, where's El Paso? You know, I can hear that now, right? That's disgusting. Honestly, it's just and it's one after another with this guy. This is embarrassing. This is the president of the United States, and he can't put together a coherent sentence.
Habitual liar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell you, just as Governor Abbott said, Biden's arrival in El Paso is 2 years too late. And that should be the theme of the Republican Party right now. Biden's arrival in El Paso is 2 years too late. Biden's arrival at the border is 2 years too late. And let's hear him explain this. Obviously, somebody is going to have to write his teleprompter readings because he won't know what to say because he'll come up with something stupid once again, something like, I spent some time with the Secret Service in Poland and in the Ukraine. So the question I have right now is, you mean that the Secret Service and the Salvation Army are the same? I mean, that's a good question. In Biden's shallow mind, yes, they are one and the same.
Yeah, but the media isn't going to make a big deal about this. They never have in the past, and they won't now. And something like this should derail a presidency, make them insignificant.
Okay, so why? I'm asking you.
They're protecting him.
And why? For what purpose?
Because he's their guy.
There you go. You see, and the funny thing is, when you sit there and say that, you know, he should be called to question and there should be a replacement, but then who do you replace him with? Communist Kamala? So obviously Kamala Harris was not the right person, and she's probably disappointed the establishment so much so that they're doing everything they can to protect Joe Biden in every way, shape, or form, irrespective of his chronic lying and the fact of making such outrageous and outlandish statements like this. Excuse me, Secret Service, Salvation Army. And as Holder said, so the Salvation Army and the Secret Service are one and the same. In this guy's mind, they must be. You know, who gives a rat's ass that you spent time with the Secret Service in Poland and in the Ukraine? That has nothing to do with your visit to the border. There's nothing to do with the visit to the southern border. For the first time in 24 months, and this is the first thing that comes out of his mouth? And the media sits there and they ignore this ridiculous and incoherent statement? I mean, it's one thing to say it's ridiculous. It's incoherent. There is no way, shape, or form you should be able to accept this type of statement. I spent some time with the Secret Service in Poland and in the Ukraine. That's the first thing you say to somebody from the Salvation Army in El Paso? And once again, if President Trump would have mispronounced the word El Paso, they would have ridden him out of the White House. They would have excoriated him for weeks on end. Matter of fact, I'm sure Nancy Pelosi would have had a House investigation into using and mispronouncing the term El Paso. This is incoherent and unacceptable. And while we're on the subject of gross incompetence by Biden, well, a friend of ours, actually mutual friend of ours, wrote this part, and it's just it's so appropriate. The gross incompetence of Biden, the most popular president in the history of our country, and his administration apparently has no bounds. If in reality the election of 2020 was not hijacked and 81 million Americans actually voted for Biden, we are truly in dire straits. And what he's referring to is Al-Qaeda plans plane attacks using new techniques and tactics as air marshals keep getting sent to the Mexican border. And we briefly touched on the issue of air marshals being sent to the Mexican border, but this is incompetence. This is a dereliction of duty. I'm not sure why in the West that we don't take Islamic terrorism seriously. You know, from Germany, it's uncovered that two Iranian nationals were planning a chemical attack, you know, just, what was it, 60 miles north of Dusseldorf? Two Iranian nationals, chemical attacks. And now Al-Qaeda comes out. Now, there's a little bit of history here in the United States when 19 Muslim men who were financed by Saudi Arabia flew planes into the Twin Towers in New York City and flew a plane into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and one plane was overtaken by brave American heroes, and it was down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. So there is a history of Islamic terrorism, including from Al-Qaeda. While the nation's federal air marshals are busy on the Mexican border providing illegal immigration with welfare checks, transportation, and other basic services, Al-Qaeda is planning attacks in the U.S. involving planes, according to the high-level Department of Homeland Security sources. Judicial Watch obtained from the government sources a copy of the new intelligence alert, which was delivered on December 31, 2022. The caption of the widely circulated warning reads, Al-Qaeda says upcoming attacks on U.S., possibly involving planes, will use new techniques and tactics. And now here you have the blithering idiot, the incompetence, the gross incompetence of Biden authorizing sending air marshals to the U.S. southern border. Now, are we going to take Al-Qaeda serious once again? They've actually showing you a playbook. You know, just like the Muslim Brotherhood. The Iqwam must understand their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the America from within. They wrote that back in 1994. I don't know why we discount and dismiss the playbooks by Islamic terrorists. So now you have the gross incompetence of Biden and his derelict regime and sending air marshals to the southern border that he's neglected for 24 months. The threat could not come at a worse time, as Biden administration leaves aircraft at risk by sending 150 to 200 family monthly to the southern border. Family, that would be federal air marshals, okay? 150 to 200 federal air marshals to the southern border to help deal with what it calls a surge in irregular migration. Now, how do you like that pandering, huh? How do you like that uncaring statement? A surge in irregular migration. It has been occurring since January 22nd, 2021. Irregular migration. That's what it's called. You know, let's go ahead and change the vernacular, make it sound very sensitive, okay? The deployments will continue indefinitely, according to multiple federal air marshals sources, and the specially trained aviation security specialists are outraged. The agency works under the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, which was created after 9/11 to prevent another terrorist attack. I don't need to read any more of this. TSA was created to prevent another terrorist attack. And let's see, Al. Now, I don't know if you would be able to understand this, but Al-Qaeda plans plane attacks using new techniques and tactics as air marshals keep getting sent to the Mexican border. And then, God forbid they should strike, Al-Qaeda should strike, and down an aircraft at a key target. Is it going to be shock? What would Biden do then? The Republicans they defunded. We need to, and you know, I was with the Secret Service back in Poland. We didn't see this coming, and the Republicans, the MAGA Republicans are extreme, and we you know, our intelligence. You know, you could hear the bumbling idiot, okay, give one excuse after another. Now, I believe this is something that we should take serious. And I'm not going to be satirical any longer on that. The fact is that Al-Qaeda continues to tell us what their plan of action is. And if we have a government who fails to take that plan seriously, we should hold them accountable. And where is the media, okay, who wants to be the relevant, you know, forces in America to dictate policy in America? Where are the 435 members of the United States House of Representatives? Where are the 100 members of the United States Senate expressing outrage at this happening? It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. The fact is, the Department of Homeland Security started the Transportation Security TSA was created after 9/11 to prevent another terrorist attack. And the Biden regime has recklessly endangered air travelers in the United States of America. That's reprehensible. That's incompetence. Where are the 535 members of the United States Congress expressing their outrage, irrespective of their party affiliation?
Good question. Is it a dereliction of duty by the TSA not to do anything? Is it a dereliction of duty for the president to call off these air marshals from their posts and training to go down to the border to do what? To do nothing? I think this rises to the level of impeachment. A hearing. We should have a hearing on this.
Yes. Well, air marshals are handing out illegal immigrants welfare checks, money that we don't have, okay? And they're providing transportation and other basic services. That's not the job of a federal air marshal.
Not unless there's illegal aliens on a plane. But, oh, wait, they do fly illegal aliens all over the country, so take that back. On second thought. Maybe it's okay now.
That's a good point.
Illegal aliens on a plane. Well, you can't even, they don't even say illegal aliens. They call them migrants.
Migrants.
They're illegal effing aliens, period. End of story. We need to call it what it is.
Well, look at, how about this? A surge in irregular migration.
What irregular, the hell is irregular migration? Is that sneaking over a border illegally? Not going through a port of entry? That is irregular. I guess it is migration, so technically it's, like you said, it's changing the name. They're trying to tell you a poopy is not a poopy.
Yeah. Joe has irregular bowel movements, so that's hey, that's a good word, irregular. Let's use that.
Yeah.
Let's sanitize the illegal alien invasion word and make it irregular migration, irregular.
Well, you did have that one leader of South Sudan who wet himself during the national anthem. Did you hear about that story?
No, I did not.
This is for real. In the South Sudan, the president was standing for the national anthem, and then he wet himself. And he threw six reporters in jail who reported the story.
He was pissed, huh?
Oh. I mean, all they had to say is that he's having a medical issue, but then I guess that raises a whole nother thing, but... Embarrassing, yes. Very.
They jailed in the media for reporters for reporting it.
Put thrown in jail. But luckily here in America, our president wears Depends, and we don't have to suffer through that embarrassment. It's just when he opens his mouth.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'm
he opens his mouth.
Salvation Army member. Jesus.
He opened up his mouth again. Everyone 6 months and up should get their updated COVID vaccine. So you got kids that are dropping dead on basketball courts, on tracks. You have the sudden death of individuals, suddenly dying. And everyone 6 months and up should get their updated COVID vaccine. And I'll tell you what, if you have a child under the age of 60, you should not, they should not get vaccinated.
Under the age of 60?
Yeah.
I agree. All right, what's the point? I mean, seriously, it's been, 2 years? All right, so you get the COVID vaccine. Now you got to have 5 boosters to go with it because supposedly the effectiveness of the booster diminishes, every 2 to 3 months? 6 months top. So you got to get the vaccine that was originally sold. If you get the vaccine, you won't get the COVID and you'll be fine. But if you take the vaccine, you can, and the boosters, you can contract COVID or one of its variants and transmit it to everybody you come in contact with. And if you're unvaccinated, you do the exact same thing. So what's the point of taking the shot?
I don't know. Didn't the incompetent Biden get he contracted COVID after he got his four boosters or three boosters and the shot? I mean,
yeah.
And then he has the audacity to state that if you get the if you get the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. And again, another absurd statement, another campaign of disinformation and misinformation. Goes unchallenged.
Yep. That's why you got to have free and open speech and let the people decide what's true and what's not. Because sure as hell can't trust anything from the government. Hell, I don't even trust my doctor anymore. It's so sad.
You know, jump
down my throat, I did get the shingles shot. And it was,
you did.
And I was happy to get it. So screw anybody who says something negative.
Well, good for you. It's painful if you get shingles. It's painful.
I've never had it, thank God. My father-in-law did, and oof. he had a tough time of it.
I did as well. It's just it's really hit me, and it wasn't a large spot, but it did travel, and that was the concern. And boy, I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep all night when I got it. Didn't know what it was. I went to the emergency clinic in the morning, and my wife ended up diagnosing it, and the doctor said, "Oh yeah. Yeah, that is shingles."
Huh. Oh, gee, thanks for the confidence, Doc.
Yeah. So do I pay my wife the $65 or do I pay you?
That's a tough disease. It's like your skin is just firing.
Oh.
Nerve firing is like electric shocks from what I understand.
Yeah, and it wasn't until they got the painkillers that it actually I calmed down. I actually went to sleep. I mean, and then, of course, you get the antibiotics for it, and it does work, and it does help, but, oh, my God, it's awful. It really is.
It works like a vaccine should.
Well, I didn't get the vaccine prior to that, so, and then I understand that even if you get the vaccine, you can still get COVID. I mean, you can still get the shingles, so.
Yeah, I got the COVID, and I got the antibodies free of charge, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Take that, Fauci. Put that in your hookah and smoke it. Bastard.
Please, don't get your children vaccinated, you know? I mean, I think Dr. Robert Maloney, you know, kind of covered that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just look at it. It doesn't work. Don't do it.
Well, I'll tell you.
We got the national championship going on as we speak.
Oh, my God, that's right. Yeah, Georgia and...
The TCU Horned Frogs. This is going to be a big game. Oh, okay. Georgia Bulldogs are up 7-0.
Are they? What time did it start?
7:30.
Oh, okay. All right, go Dogs.
Go Frogs.
I'm going for your Georgia Bulldogs. Hey,
I'm rooting for the Under Frogs.
Good. So, hey,
you're
working
with the Bulldogs. I'm rooting for the underdogs.
You're rooting for the underdogs. Go Frogs, right? So Hank Jones from Poly Sports will be covering this on Wednesday, I'm sure. Check him out at 5:30 p.m. Hank's in the room. Thank you for coming, Hank. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report on Thursday. He's the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. You can purchase that book on Amazon.com or at Paul's website. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. And check out Andrew's show. He's got some great guests on there. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back. Welcome back, Eric, and Happy New Year to you. It's nice to see that he's back. The Interfaith Dialogue, which will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. God bless that young man. Al and I will be back on Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows to watch out for and to frequent. Actually, keep G-Ski and Dave in your prayers. And keep G-Ski in your prayers, Airwaves of America. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and her great sidekick, the author, Curtis Bennett. Check them out on Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You got Simone Nicole. If you want a break from Islam and from sports and from politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show, a great self-help show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. And Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Great show by Audrey. Love Mr. P and his rants, man. He does a great job. So check out those shows. Alan, I'll be back. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriots, www.bigfootplace.blogspot.com. Ducky Northwest, it's a Mama Mia. Hank Jones, Poly Sports. Ron, nice to see you, Ron. Duck Dog, he just left us there. And, of course, our old friend Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue. And I want to thank everybody out there in the podcast land and listening to our show and supporting Global Patriot Radio. Thank you, folks. You all have a good evening. Good night.
Adios, amigos. Go Frogs.
Go Dogs.
Let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs? Oh my gosh, that's a great song. Who let the dogs out? Yeah. I thought the thing started at 8 o'clock.
Nope, 7:30.
Going to be a good game. I wouldn't count TCU out. I mean, they're on a roll.
Bulldogs are gonna beat up on the Frogs.
You know what? That Kirby Smart is smart. All I gotta say is when after we saw him dismantle Tennessee Volunteers and they were practicing, all year for that game, running 3 or 4 1-hour or half hour a practice, just preparing. And it's like you gotta wonder if they did the same, you know, not to count their chickens before they hatch, but to prepare for, you know, the style of offense that TCU runs. You got to wonder.
Yeah, that's why they're undefeated, 14-0.
And I'll tell you, that Nick Saban is an absolute genius. You know, the stable of coaches that comes out of Alabama, incredible teaching methods on that from that man. I mean, Kirby Smart is a product of Alabama of Nick Saban. It's one success story after another.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm going to be glued to that. So, all right.
Yep. I'm going to start watching now. So, Sue, have a great week.
Yeah, Sue, you take care of yourself. Nice to see you. Happy New Year, everybody. And you put her on?
I put her on and say hello,
great.
Goodbye. hope your throat's feeling a little better.
All right. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Uh-oh.